Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. I'd like to start by just saying, as I share this morning, that this is, I don't believe Brother Mark asked me to share this message because he saw this idealistic walk of continually praying and ministering the word. I find myself very inadequate and so I speak this morning from the heart of the reality of being ordained an elder, of having a family to care for, of all that entails. And I think all of you know what I'm talking about. I'm challenged sometimes to not feel like people see this, but how real is it in my life? How real is it in your life? And I trust that as I share this morning, that you all have achieved and attained to a higher degree and a higher level that I have, but I hope that we can all be inspired and encouraged by this word and this encouragement that we are to give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. Let's not put on a facade. Let's not have a veneer. Let's just be real about the realities that we face as elders. Many who have businesses, many who are employed and are, you know, there's the gifts, often the gifts that are applicable for an elder are often also gifts that spread out in other life. And I guess my prayer this morning in this message is simply that we would take heart and note of that reality that we are again, maybe all of you don't face it like I do, but I think you do. I think you do. It's a real thing. I'd like to start by just taking a moment to reflect, and I think it's important that every child of God take some time now and again to reflect on the author of their faith, on, you know, consider the one who has forgiven all of our sins, to remember the precious blood that was shed and the reason that they believed, that first love that they had, and what is their purpose in the kingdom of God. I think every Christian needs to do that frequently. And I'd like to this morning, and as we're gathered in a bit of a unique way, there's no children here, there's no sisters here. If you're here this morning, you're here because you have been called by God. You've been chosen by the church to uphold a responsibility of feeding the flock, of shepherding, of ministering in some way or other. And so we're here in a bit of a unique way, and I'd like to just take a moment and reflect and remember. Why are we here? What is our purpose in the kingdom of God? So, whether you've been serving many decades, and there's a number of you who have been, or you're just newly ordained, let's remember it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do. It has to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can easily come to a place where we want to take control, where we want to do this, where we are doing this, and we maybe lose that first love. Maybe we get busy in life and things happen and we're, or maybe, you know, maybe there's suffering and affliction and your name is cast down and is tarnished because you're walking, you're leading. Not everybody likes the truth. Let's remember, it's not about us. Will we willingly suffer afflictions, things that come against us for the name of Jesus Christ, for His sake? So when there is that suffering, affliction, trials, troubles, and many of you older brothers have walked through deep waters, through heavy things. When these things happen, let's remember it's not about us. It's not about us. Let's take those things to the foot of the cross. And when things are going well, church is growing. There's a oneness and there's a prospering. Let's remember it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I have done. The Lord has been working. And we, as we heard Brother Mark share this morning, may have humbled ourselves. Maybe that's why God was able to work. Let's stay humble. Let's stay humble. Let's not start thinking it's about me. It's what I have done. We're just vessels in God's kingdom. We're channels for Him to work through. We are not more than the brothers and sisters in our church, than the brothers and sisters or the elders in other churches. It's not about me. Let's remember and reflect that it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross. He suffered rejection. There is nothing that we will go through that Jesus can't relate to. He had the opportunity to be lifted up by a worldly ruler, by Satan himself, and to take over this world. He had that temptation. We have that temptation. He had all the feelings of rejection, of shame, of whatever feeling you may be struggling or dealing with. Jesus, not only does He know because He is the Son of God, but I believe that Jesus, and I'm open for correction in this, but I believe that Jesus probably experienced in the flesh every emotion and feeling and trial that will come our way. So when things are hard, when things are going well, let's remember to keep our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Older brothers, your examples, your faithfulness, your continuing is a great blessing and very valuable for us younger ordained elders. Thank you. Keep pressing on. Don't grow weary. Younger brothers, I think we've had our word. We're full of zeal and ambitions. We have visions and we think, let's go, let's do this. Why? Let's remember to humble ourselves, just like Brother Mark shared. It's not about us and our great ideas that will build the church. So let's learn at the feet of Jesus. Let's seek counsel of men of faith who have gone before us. May we do all for His honor and His glory. I'd like to just bow and pray before we continue with the message. Holy Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for Your great love. We thank You, Father, for all that You have done, for all that You have given, and for all that You give each and every day. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, by which we may be comforted, by which we may obtain wisdom and grow in godliness. We pray that You would afresh and anew pour out Your Spirit upon us, and I pray especially, God, that Your Spirit would just touch my lips, touch my mind, touch my heart. Father, I've written some words on these papers, but I would like for You to just be here and be with us and share the words that I need, that we need, that Your name would be glorified, that Your will would be done upon the earth, and that Your church could be a spotless bride, a lamb that would be prepared for Your coming. We look forward to that, dear Lord Jesus, when You come again and receive us into glory and we can be with You and know even as we are known. So, Father, we commit this time, these next couple days, into Your hand and thank You again for Your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mark asked me to share on giving ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. I'm not a very good title person, but I would probably just simply title it Giving Ourselves. Giving Ourselves. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6 and read the context of this scripture. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Leading up to this, we would see in Jerusalem the 12 apostles and the 120 in the upper room, the Spirit falling down, Peter preaching the word, and people being pricked in their heart, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And there was repentance, there was baptism, and 3,000 were added to the church. You know, I don't know if there's 50 churches represented here, and each church has 30 families, that's like 1,500 people. And if all of those people were here, and if all of those people were here every day, And we were all here every day. And let's say this is the 120 of those disciples in the upper room that maybe were kind of the core group next to the 12. I think there's some business going on here. There's a lot of transactions. These people are fervent for the Lord and they are selling what they have. If there's anybody that has need, they are selling, they're giving. And we can see by the example of Ananias and Sapphira that this was being handled by the apostles themselves. By Peter was handling these transactions, taking the money, distributing the money. And so as the church grew, I can only imagine that Peter's opportunities to preach like he did there at the temple when the Holy Ghost fell upon them became less and less and less. And so, thus Peter's words when this murmuring came. And I like to just point out here that it sounds to me like this murmuring came about in a way that, well, it was murmuring. What is murmuring? It's not the Grecian widows coming to Peter and saying, we really have some need here, we're struggling a bit. But rather, it's this kind of a rumor mill going on, and there's a kind of an uprising. And I would sense within myself maybe this idea that they didn't really ask right, the right way. They've got an attitude, and we need to deal with the attitude, and then we'll deal with the issue. You know, maybe it's just so. I just want to point out here, I think it's a good example for us as elders that regardless of what need arises or how the need arises, the apostles here did something about it seemingly quite quickly, and they didn't make mention of these Grecian widows being murmuring. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and so they ordained what we now call deacons. And Peter said, we will give ourselves to prayer continually. Any of you churches that doesn't have a deacon? Okay, one or two. May it be short-lived. Now for all of us who have deacons, I've been challenged in studying this and thinking about this. Do we still like to do the business of serving tables? Are we preaching more because we have deacons? Or did we ordain deacons and, well, the deacons still ask us about a lot of, you know, this or that, and we still want to make all the decisions. Speaking to myself here, I think maybe there's an opportunity or a possibility that giving ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word isn't necessarily maybe as appealing as it may be to just, you know, some of these serving tables. So let's consider the purpose of deacons and give ourselves not to just all have an easier time. We didn't ordain deacons so that I could spend more time on my business or that I could start another business. We ordain deacons so that the elders can spend more time praying and ministering the word. Let's make sure we do it. This message seems very plain to me. I think we'll just go through it step by step and look at what each of these things says. Do we understand it? And then we apply it. Giving ourselves how does it look when I, well, if I give you my Bible, or I give you a bottle of water, I don't have it anymore. So now when I give myself, I don't, where is self now? We give ourself. We give ourself. We choose to become a living sacrifice. We choose to deny the things that would hinder us. And instead of giving ourselves to, what comes to your mind? Something that's not prayer and the Word of God. Work. Work. I give myself to work. I apply myself. I think we can all relate to what that looks like. Somebody has given themselves to their work. It's a good thing. When we're working, we should be working. But do we know when we should stop working? What is our, what does this look like today when Peter said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer? What were the realities of their life? How did that look in them giving themselves? And how does it look today? And are we making excuses? Well, we got to do this, we got to do that. We live in America, after all, or Canada, you know, we got to keep up with the times. We have to, well, I guess I'm challenging myself, and you're hearing me. Have the philosophies of business and the philosophies of this world in what we need tainted our churches, tainted us as a ministry, influenced us to not give ourselves. As we read in verse 7 of Acts chapter 6, the Word of God increased. There was more preaching of the Word of God. There was more witnessing. There was more evangelism. There was more discipleship. There was more caring for the people within the church and without the church. And it worked. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So if you have 3,000 to start with, and day by day there were added as many as the Lord would save, and now the word increases, I have to ask myself, is the church increasing, or is the church decreasing in general? I don't think we're increasing by multiplication factors. I think if we looked at Christianity as a whole, it's going the wrong way. Is that because the Word of God has not increased? We ordain deacons, but the Word of God has not increased. We come to church and we are elders and we're ordained elders, but has the Word of God increased? Have we given ourselves continually to prayer and to ministering of the Word? Giving ourselves, whatever that means for you, let's just think about giving ourselves. It's a choice. Same as humbling ourselves, we give ourselves to something. Let's prioritize what is eternal. Let's prioritize what is heavenly. Let's prioritize what brings honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, continually, Does that mean we like, can we do anything else? Does continuing mean there's no stopping? What does the word continually here mean? We just say, well, we continually give ourselves to, but actually, I went to work yesterday, and in fact, yesterday was, I guess I prayed a couple times, but it was not a continuation from the morning to the evening and until I slept. What does continually mean? If we look at the word itself, it means to be earnest towards. That is to persevere, constantly diligent. To attend assiduously all the exercises. To adhere closely, continually. So those are the other words that could be translated continually. To be earnest towards. It is derived, that word is derived from a root word, you would say, which means to be strong. That is to be steadfast, to endure. So we will give ourselves, or we will commit ourselves, we will choose to apply ourselves to be steadfast in prayer, to be strong in prayer, to endure in prayer. And there's quite a number of scriptures that we could look at. I'm not going to take the time to look at very many of them, but in Exodus chapter 28, verse 30, God instructed Moses and said, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." It was a kind of always there. Regardless of what he was doing, he was bearing the burden of the people's, of the children of Israel, the judgment on his heart. Continually. I ask a couple of our brothers at church what continually means. And I, preoccupied is one of the words that came up. So you're always preoccupied with your worker. You're always preoccupied with that little, I mean, if you have sons or daughters, you know, especially, you know, 8, 10, 12-year-old sons, they have this project they're working on, and every time they have a slip chance, they're working on it or they're thinking about it. They're preoccupied. You know, they're at the supper table, and they're preoccupied with the little project. I thought that was a good word, a continually. We're preoccupied with prayer and ministering the word. Reflexively. Something happens, we pray. What's the difference between continually and consistently? So I pray every morning at 9 o'clock. That's consistent in prayer. But is there a reason that Peter used the word continually instead of consistently? I think there's a heart or a tone of, it's as elders, we give ourselves continually. Right? He didn't just say we'll give ourselves to prayer. We will give ourselves to ministry of the word, but he said continually, or that steadfastness, that it's something that we are, that's never far away. And we've touched on and talked a bit about the impact of business and busyness on that continual part. How easy to become distracted. How easy to get our focus off of God. How easy to think it's about us and what I need to do so that our business doesn't go down. How easy to forget that a prayer to God can open doors of opportunity in our lives that we are completely missing because we are doing it, because I am doing it. How easy is it to be influenced by worldly philosophy and worldly business ideology and lifestyle and culture and all of these things, I think we must be vigilant. We must be vigilant to consider, am I working for some easy future? Am I working for greatness, for fame, for what is the reason that I don't just pray all day and minister the word all day? What's the reason I don't do that? Well, I need to supply for my family. Okay. But what does it take to supply for my family? Do I follow the same principles of needing to provide more for my family as the world uses? Well, you got to get up every day. You got to start early. You got to work hard. I want you to realize that if you have a business, and I work for a business, right? There's a need, and this is maybe a little bit of out of balance that way intentionally, that we think about these things. Let's think about these things. Where is our focus? Have we given ourselves to what degree where? Is it for the kingdom of God? We say so, but do we? This is my challenge. Do we? Are we fast food snack type elders? A quick little prayer and running to the next meeting and God help me and this little scripture and that little scripture that we have memorized? Or do we have time to sit at the feet of Jesus? Do we have time to sit with older men who can teach us the ways of God? Do we have time? Have we given ourselves? Prayer. We will give ourselves continually to prayer. I'd like to just think about prayer. How? How is your prayer life? How is your prayer time? Not how do you want it to be, how do you wish it to be, how would you like for it to be? You know how it should be, but how is it? How is mine? And I will confess that it is something that I struggle with. It is something that I think is concerning, and I wonder if this is what I find in the short couple of years that I have been serving as an elder. As time goes on, things are kind of working. And has your prayer time cooled off? Are you as zealous in your prayer and asking God for direction for all things, or are you starting to make the decisions on your own? I wonder how many church splits, how many divisions, how many offenses, how many things of the devil would have been thwarted, wouldn't have happened, had the elders of the church persisted in prayer, continually in prayer, not just knowing what it should be, but actually. How can we again, I'm exposing myself here. I'm speaking from the heart that you probably, but then again, you all are flesh and blood, and probably this has been or is, and I'd like for us to just be real with each other. It is a struggle sometimes to find time to pray. Your wife needs time to talk. Your son needs time to talk. Your son has so much energy that when and how can you keep up with some of those things and spend time with them? Is your son and daughter more important or the church more important? You say one thing, but what is it? There's a message that needs to be preached. And there's another message coming right up. And next Sunday, there's another message. And there's a Bible school. And there's... When do I pray? I have to work too. It's real, brothers. Let's be real with each other and let's help each other. Let's help each other. How's your prayer life? I'm struggling. Well, let's pray about it and let me just call you once or twice a week. I need that, brother. How much advantage does Satan get because we have not given ourselves continually to prayer? How many of the challenges and struggles that we have could be prevented had we spent time in prayer? How many doors of opportunity would open up and God would pour out blessings and souls would be saved had we given ourselves and taken time for prayer? I don't think there's any question in any of our minds of the power of prayer. How many of you have seen miracles because of prayer? Many. Not all of us have seen things that happened miraculously because God moved and answered our prayer. How many of you believe that there is spiritual wickedness and powers of darkness that we don't see with our visual eyes? What is the power that keeps those away? What is the power that we have? Prayer, the Spirit of God. How do we pray? How can we pray? I'd like to look at just a couple examples here. Jesus in the garden, praying. How would you describe it? What's the word that comes to your mind? Fervency, agonizing, earnestly. That's the way we need to pray. That's one of the ways we need to pray. We are facing something that is of significance for the future of the church. We're facing turmoil or trouble. Have we taken time to agonize in prayer? To cry out to God? Or can we do it on our own? Do we just say, God, help us on our way to the meeting because we didn't get our work done in time to... Do we have time to agonize in prayer? Jesus on the mountain away from his disciples and the disciples go across the sea and he is up in the mountain praying. What's the word that you would use to describe that type of prayer?
Connecting with his Father.
Connecting with his Father. Refreshing.
Dependency.
Just sometimes we need to have time when we can connect with the Father. When we can have time for ministering, for the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to us, to have a communication. It's not a prayer about this brother or that sister or this situation or that situation or the lost soul. It's a prayer to say, Father, cleanse me. Search my heart. Strengthen my faith. Lead me on. I think we need those prayers. Jesus taught us that we are to pray in secret. Are your prayers as zealous and as inspiring and as motivating in your prayer closet in secret as they are when you're praying in front of a brotherhood or in front of a room full of elders? Do you pray with the same? Is it just me that struggles with that? Does your family hear you pray the same prayers, the same fervency, the same zeal, the same length of prayer when you're on the living room floor with your family before the altar of God and you're pouring out your heart? Do they hear the same Is your prayer a bit different? Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with that. Maybe I'm the only one that finds it easier to pray. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't sometimes think, well, we'll do a quick little prayer. In secret. For the sake of others. John 17, Jesus praying for others. For us. He prayed for us. Lifting others up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lifting others up to the throne of God. What's the word that you would use to describe when Elijah cast himself down and he put his head between his knees and he prayed and he sent his servant and there was no cloud? What's the word you would? Persistence. Again and again and again. When God doesn't answer the first time we pray, let's keep our head down. Let's keep praying. Persistence. So, what about Peter's prayer? If it is you, tell me to come. Here I go. Lord, help me. Three words. There's a need for those prayers too, as elders. There's a time to pray. Lord, help us. Lord, help me. God answers those prayers too. Let us continue instant in prayer, as Romans 12, verse 12 says. So whether we're driving to work with the family, fixing the hay baler until 12 o'clock midnight, because tomorrow is the last sunny day, and okay, there's real things that we face, brothers. When we hold our children, what does it look like? Let's continually be praying, and let's just search our hearts that we pray. Sometimes, Lord, help us in quick little prayers, but that we also pray with earnestness, with that zeal, persistently having time in prayer. The ministry of the word. I think if we want our church to grow, if we want the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to grow, the word has to go forth. The word has to increase. And we have the example, when the word was preached, the church grew. Let's preach the word. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. The word of the Lord. Let us preach the word of the Lord. Now, the apostles there, I guess we don't know which of them, which of the 12 was writing this or saying this, but they didn't say, we will preach the word. They said, ministry of the word. And I found that interesting because when you look at ministry, it's the same, from the same root as deacon. So here we have them leaving. Really, I mean, if you look in verse 2, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. That's that word serve is the same as ministry. We should serve the word. How does that look when we consider that in the beginning was the word? The word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. We serve the Word. We're ministering the Word. We're ministering more than just words. It's more. It has to be more than just preaching the Word. We have to minister the Word, meaning we have to apply it. We have to serve the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving Him and serving those around us. And if we look there in John 1, as I was reading that, it struck me that when we minister the word, we minister light. We minister light. So we can use the word and we can shine light into dark places. The word. How do we minister the word? I'll read here in Revelation 19 about the word. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and maketh war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Let's minister the Word of God. Let's be that Word in the flesh. The Word, so we see it in the Word, is as seed cast forth by a sower. We are that. We're spreading the Word. We're praying for a harvest, and even now the fields are white unto harvest. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. How do we handle the word? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 12 has a warning for us. I'm sorry. Verse 1 and 2. Didn't see the dash between my 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry? The ministry of the word, the ministry of serving the church, serving the people. We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So let's not handle the word of God deceitfully. By this scripture, it appears like that's possible, and we know that it's possible because some people do. Handling the word of God deceitfully for their own glory, for their own fame, benefit, or honor, they twist the word of God and don't minister truthfully the word of God, and therefore the church, the bride of Jesus Christ, cannot grow and cannot increase. So, let's give ourselves. Or you could say commit. Let's commit ourselves continually or earnestly to earnestly attend to prayer and to serving the word. Let's not allow the prophecy of Ezekiel to fit our ministry. In Ezekiel 34, he talks about the shepherd. He says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." I think if we give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word, we feed the flock of God, as Peter says, then that won't be true. And I think it's important that we realize that this can be a reality. The chosen children of God, the chosen people, the ones who were ordained to be priests and to serve the people, neglected their responsibility, neglected their duty. If they did that, it's very possible for us as Gentiles to do that too. We must commit ourselves. Let's close here by reading 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll just read the chapter down to verse 11 and allow it to speak and minister to us. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 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 May the Lord be glorified.